Well, Dr. Klatz, Ron Klatz, it's such an honor to have you on this segment of Regenerative Medicine Summit. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it is my great pleasure. It's my great pleasure to be here, Dr. Carlson.
Well, thank you so much. So I like people to really understand, I mean, who I'm talking to. I mean, you, Dr. Klatz is a physician, medical scientist, futurist, and innovator. He coined the term anti-aging medicine. So you are the father of anti-aging medicine and is recognized as a leading authority in the new clinical science of anti-aging medicine. Dr. Klatz is a physician, founder, and president of the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. In 1984, Dr. Klatz was a pioneer in the clinical specialty of preventative medicine as a principal founder of the National Academy of Sports Medicine and researcher into elite human performance and physiology. Dr. Klatz is a best-selling author and is columnist or senior medical editor to several international medical journals. Since 1981, Dr. Klatz has been integral in the pioneering exploration of new therapies for the treatment and prevention of age-related degenerative diseases. He is the inventor, developer, or administrator of 100-plus scientific patents, including those for technologies for brain resuscitation, trauma and emergency medicine, organ transplant, and blood preservation. Today, Dr. Klatz helps to support aging-related biotech research and supervises postgraduate medical training programs for physicians from 120 countries. You are busy. That's a lot to do.
Yeah, it's kept me off the streets and out of the clubs at night, that's for sure.
Okay. And you are working on an incredible project. I mean, right now it's going to Dr. Klatz, you know, drklatz.org, and looking at the project there. It's at the World Center for Anti-Aging and Regenerative Medicine. I mean, what is your vision for that? Because that, I mean, looking at the images, it just looks incredible.
Well, anti-aging medicine is a true medical specialty. You can call anti-aging medicine or regenerative medicine or functional medicine or next generation medicine or precision medicine, but it's all anti-aging medicine. And what it is it's the next generation of medicine. It's the medicine that is designed to cure you and to reverse aging, not simply to palliate your diseases, as unfortunately modern traditional medicine has become in the Western world. And in every specialty of medicine, there's a center of excellence, a center where the best people are trained, where the research is actually performed, where these are the ground zero for each of the medical specialties. And we all know Sloan Kettering for cancer and, the Mayo Clinic for orthopedics and the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York, and there's Will's Eye Hospital. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of centers of excellence for every medical specialty, including podiatry, proctology, aesthetic surgery, for every medical specialty except anti-aging medicine. And it's now time to create such a center, where all the different aspects of anti-aging medicine, whether they be hormone replacement therapy or stem cells or regenerative medicine, very focused and advanced physical therapies, whether they be implants or senolytic drugs growth factors, hormones, washing the blood away from impurities, whatever the technology be that's being applied by anti-aging medicine physicians today, it can all be done under one roof. And unfortunately, that's not the case in the world right now. You cannot go anywhere in the world and get the full spectrum of anti-aging medicine. You have to go to this clinic, that doctor, another doctor. And so when people come to me and they say, Dr. Klotz, where do I go? I want to get a complete anti-aging medicine program. I say, there is no place. That's the purpose of the World Center for Anti-Aging Medicine. Hopefully there's someone out there who wants to change the future of healthcare and who wants to be the patron saint of this new medical specialty and, is willing to write a check. So far, not too many people have called me, but maybe after this call, maybe after this show, yeah. Someone in your audience will say, hey, that's an idea. I'd like to be part of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So in your view, I mean, what are the benefits? I mean, if you would sum up what anti-aging medicine really is, what would that be?
Anti-aging medicine is an umbrella term for advanced preventive medicine. It's anything that has to do with the early detection, prevention, treatment, and or reversal of aging-related disease. And so it's a very wide scope that anti-aging medicine contains. And so whether it be advanced procedures in neurosurgery or orthopedic surgery or aesthetic surgery, whether it be hormone replacement therapy, whether it be metabolic interventions, or even immune therapies, because as we age, we lose our immunity. Anything that reverts our bodies back to a more youthful, higher performance, basically a healthier time in your life. This is anti-aging medicine, and anti-aging medicine affects both the quality of the human lifespan as well as the quantity of the human lifespan.
So because a lot of people think, well, anti-aging, that sounds like, people in Beverly Hills, all the rich people, cost a lot of money. But from my understanding is that preventative and anti-aging medicine actually would cost less because it's cheaper to prevent and it's cheaper to address things ahead of the game rather than dealing with our common or our model that we have now, which they call healthcare, but it's disease care. It is, dealing with diseases when they show up. So it's a late stage intervention when you have to put forth a lot of effort rather than addressing it ahead of time, which is what anti-aging and sounds to me preventative medicine is.
You're absolutely correct. America spends more money on healthcare than any country in the world by a huge factor, a factor of at least five, more like eight times more than most Western countries. And we're still number 48, 49 as far as longevity in the world. So we're not getting our money's worth. Our money is not being spent on prevention. Our money is not being spent on a cure. Our money is spent on expensive pills and expensive procedures and late life care that really does very little to improve the life and the quality of the patient. We've got things really bass backwards in Western healthcare. We have for, in my opinion, for the last 30, 40 years. Anti-aging medicine is trying to reverse some of that. And I think that we've been very successful in doing quite a bit in the last 30 years since 1991, when the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine got its start.
I love that, and A4M, American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. I mean, what you have brought forth and the knowledge of this and how important this kind of therapy is tremendous. What I'd like to address also is that, the healthcare that we're having right now, I mean, looking at the pharmacopoeia, people think that, real medicine, if we're going to have a strong impact, then we need pharmaceutical drugs. And So the pharmacopoeia that we have here in the United States compared to what is available, talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, what we have is we have the drug of the month club. I'm not against pharmaceutical companies. I'm a believer in scientific medicine. I'm a believer in scientific pharmacology. What I am not in favor of is I'm not in favor of pushing a drug simply because it's on patent and you can make a lot of money with it. And that's what happens. There are at least 50,000 drugs that are approved and are part of the USP or the United States Pharmacopeia. If you walk into any Walgreens or CVS or chain pharmacy in America, you'd be hard pressed to find a pharmacy that has more than 300 to 500 drugs on its shelves. Most of them, a lot less. And the majority of drugs that they fulfill prescriptions for are about 50 or 60. And most doctors don't know off the top of their heads more than 30 drugs. And so how does that work? If a doctor only knows 30 drugs and a pharmacy only stocks 500 drugs out of 50,000 drugs that are available, are proven, are part of the USP, US Pharmacopeia, and that's just the United States. If we go over to Europe and other parts of the world, their pharmacopeia is over 100,000 drugs. If we go to China, we're looking at another 150,000 to 200,000 drugs. So worldwide, there are at least 300,000 drugs that are available, that are scientifically categorized, that are scientifically formulated, and that are available to any hospital or almost any doctor in a standardized format. So who's doing good medicine? How could you be doing good medicine if you only have access to 30 out of 300,000 drugs? And I'm not saying you should be using more drugs. Actually, I'm saying you should be using less drugs because there's a lot of problems with drugs. I think overall, people are better off with natural therapies more so than pharmacological therapies. But I'm all for whatever works, whether it be natural or synthetic. But my point is that there is a lot more to healthcare than is being offered in Western medicine. And we need to understand that and open our eyes and demand better.
Yeah, and I think that's a key is to developing these organizations that you have to drive forth innovation, drive forth knowledge to then prevent a lot of these diseases that we seemingly don't have any solutions for, like cancer, like diabetes, like cardiovascular disease, to kind of find what to do at its root. So with your broad knowledge of anti-aging and being kind of being the father of anti-aging, what are you seeing taking place in that space that is innovative, that is driving this technology forward, that is the cutting edge, you know, that we should be looking at, that we're not seeing?
Well, I don't mean to correct you, but I have a slightly different opinion. I think there are effective therapies for cancers that have not been promoted. I think there are effective therapies for heart disease that have not been promoted. I think that there are effective therapies for diabetes that are not being promoted. And so none of these diseases is a death sentence, including Alzheimer's disease. And these are the therapies that are being educated. We're educating doctors at the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. We've trained over 200,000 physicians around the world in these methodologies and these drug therapies and the prognosis or the progression or the velocity of healthcare and where we're going. And we're going very far, very quickly. Because if you remember, when we got started in 1991, life expectancy was lower than it is today. And it's been increasing constantly until the onset of COVID, where things have been where things have gone backwards, unfortunately. COVID aside, once COVID is resolved, and I think it will be, we're going to see a continued uptick in life expectancy. In many countries around the world, life expectancy is pushing 85 years of age now. Some countries, as much as 90 years of age. And I personally am predicting life expectancies. I'm predicting the age of practical immortality as soon as perhaps 2029. And that's because of the new technologies that are in the laboratory with genetic therapies, stem cell therapies, senolytic drugs, better understandings of how to undermine the processes, the degenerative processes of aging. And when we achieve the age of immortality, life expectancies will rocket past 100 to perhaps 120, perhaps even further. And that's within the not too distant future if the pharmaceutical companies and the governments get out of the way and allow the technology that's already in the laboratory, that's already working in laboratory animals, be applied to people for that purpose.
So tell me a little bit about that. What kind of technology is that? Is it, I'd like to, I mean, do you have the ability to talk about it a little bit or?
Well, sure. There's, there's tons of published research on senolytic drugs and its effect on aging in rodents and in other species. The same is true with drugs that help to control blood sugar. Metformin trials are out. All these different studies, metabolic treatment of cancer, Alzheimer's disease, all these studies are showing improvements in life expectancy if you were to extrapolate from animals to people of 2 to 5 years to 10 years, sometimes 20 years. Even in dogs and puppy dogs, Purina did a study some time ago where they took young beagles and they put them on a very clean diet and a diet very high in antioxidants. And they found a 20% increase in life expectancy in beagles. Seeing a 20, 30, 40% increase in life expectancy in rodents is very, very common in the scientific literature. And when you look at people, if you just look at these communities that are following an anti-aging lifestyle, those are the communities that where you're seeing people who are living well past 80, 85, 90. If you look at the blue zones, and you can extrapolate from, what is it that they're doing? They're living in a clean environment. They're getting lots of sun. They're getting lots of exercise, and they're eating a high antioxidant diet. So, if it works for them, why wouldn't it work for you and me?
Yeah, exactly. And when you're talking about senolytic drugs, I mean, you mean then things like metformin, rapamycin, those types. So do you feel that is something?
Quercetin, fisetin. There's a whole rack of them coming out of the laboratory right now.
Yeah,
and I think has very great potential for longevity. But it's not one drug, unfortunately. In mice, it's a lot easier to come up with a master drug that's going to affect longevity. people have a more complicated metabolism and they're not as compliant, nowhere near as compliant as mice. So with people, it's going to take a more complicated approach and a more systematic approach. But that's okay. We can do it in people. We're seeing it already. There's a fellow by the name of Gary Null. He's a longtime health writer. He's a nutritional researcher, Gary Null, PhD, and he published over the last few years a number of studies where he took elderly people, I think 70 plus, groups of 20, 30 of them, to a ranch in Texas that he managed. He managed this environment. It was a controlled environment. And he took these people who had, you know, these were not superstar 70-year-olds. These were not Olympians. These were your common nursing home type 70-something plus-year-old people. They had arthritis. They had diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, early Alzheimer's disease or dementia. And he put them on a very strict, high nutrient diet. And he put them on enforced exercise every day, and yoga, and an improved sleeping environment. And after the course of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, these people tested 5 years, 10 years younger. Was amazing. These people who were walking with walkers, or who were walking needed assistance with walking, threw away their walking sticks, threw away their walkers, and were running mini marathons.
That's incredible.
And not just that, but when you measured their blood pressure, those improved. Their cognitive function improved. And this was no drugs at all. This was simply environmental and super nutrition.
So that, yeah, talking then about the senolytics, and senolytics, yeah, for people that don't know, yeah, are then agents that are able to clear out senescent cells, you know, that are just kind of hanging out there, kind of also termed zombie cells that are triggering a lot of inflammation. These are cells that are supposed to die, but they're not dying. Because the immune system is not as functioning as well to clear them out. So these senolytic then help to clear these out. So there are a lot of pharmaceutical, but it seems like by doing a high nutrition diet, you will then gain a huge amount of these senolytics just through your diet and through, like you're talking about, curcumin, quercetin, fisetin, that you can find in natural agents as well.
Yeah, it's been a surprise to me as a clinician, as a physician, that so many pharmaceutical agents have their analogous natural food, a natural food source or a natural substance, where almost any drug has an analogous food equivalent. And that's been a big surprise to me, how effective these natural foods are with things such as memory, things such as diabetes, mm-hmm. and even cancer. Garlic, very effective, food for all sorts of things, for blood pressure, protection from cancer, protection from cardiovascular disease, thins the blood, vitamin E, vitamin C, vitamin D for immunity. It affects hundreds of metabolic processes within the body. I mean, it's astounding. And we have gone so far away from natural health in American medicine, it's criminal. Because natural healing is the best healing because there's no side effects or very little side effects, as opposed to drugs, which are expensive. They're hard to enforce compliance because patients don't like taking drugs and they're expensive. whereas people are much more compliant with natural foods, natural substances, natural vitamins. And the natural vitamins are very effective.
And one of the, I know one of the studies they did, they rounded up all the longest living people in Europe, and they try to find a commonality. And one of the commonalities was garlic, you know, and so people, here is something so cheap, inexpensive, available, and it's so powerful in supporting the anti-aging process. You know, great blood thinner, kill pathogens, antioxidants, detoxify. I mean, it's amazing what just garlic in itself can do.
That's true. And, you know, this is not so hard. I mean, yes, metabolism is very complicated. Aging is very complicated. But there is so much that can be done. Just simple, you know, just taking a walk after your big meal of the day, a 15, 20 minute walk can lower your risk of cardiovascular disease and cancer by 20% or more. Increase life expectancy dramatically. Improve sleep. These things are available to all of us. Just sleeping in a clean environment, where there's no background noise, where there's no background lighting, where the electricity is not near the head of your bed, because we're finding out that electrical frequency can affect the release of melatonin from the brain, and we need melatonin. Melatonin protects against cancer. It's the most powerful, one of the most powerful antioxidants in the body. These sort of things are, you know, going back to a natural lifestyle. And not that I'm against new drugs. I'm all for new drugs. Oh, my goodness. I'm looking forward to that magic pill that's going to let me live to be 150. But until I get it, I want to work with what I got. And there's a lot of things we have that work just fine if we're willing to open our eyes and to reach out and embrace them. Detoxification, another big thing, because we live in a toxic soup. We live in a toxic soup of poisoned air, poisoned water, poisoned food, radio frequency. We're getting something like 10,000 more times the amount of radio frequency pollution into our bodies every day than our grandparents did. I've just read that they're now giving COVID vaccine to cattle, for what I don't know, but they're finding that many of the cattle are falling over dead because they're having autoimmune reactions to the COVID vaccine. You know, there's something wrong, and it's up to us. When I say us, I'm talking about you and me, not the medical establishment, but us. It's our body, it's our choice, it's our life, and we have to stand up for that if we're going to enjoy the benefits of anti-aging medicine, which are already here. We don't have to wait 100 years or 50 years or 20 years for them to manifest. They're already here, and if we can make it through the next 10, 20 years, they're going to be here in dramatic ways.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, it is so ludicrous with some of these, like the COVID vaccine, you know, for cattle, or for children, or for, you know, because, you know, there really is no studies, obviously, for the benefit, nor is there a study to show the real danger of the COVID, and nor is really, so it's just showing that the people with money, they have the ability to open up a new market, and they are able then to push their product onto that market and make more money.
Indeed. And what I haven't figured out yet is why those same people are not going after the anti-aging market, because it's the biggest market of all.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to live a longer, healthier, happier lifespan. But it seems that it's just the opposite is the intention of many of the people who are controlling the worldwide healthcare system.
Talk to me a little bit about stem cells. I mean, you mentioned that. What promise do you see with stem cells? What usage other than people? I mean, I know we do a lot of kind of joint injections with stem cells to regenerate joints, but systemically, what do you see?
Well, stem cells has been a bit of a disappointment so far. It's a longer road than I think any of us expected. The results, as you say, for joints, connective tissue, for hair growth, for wound healing, stem cells have been miraculous very exciting. However, stem cells to reverse cognitive dysfunction, neurological dysfunction, spinal cord injuries, some people are making claims, but the literature has not yet supported these claims very strongly. You know, it's one thing for someone to say, hey, I got this result or that result, or, you know, I've cured one person or two or three or a dozen patients. It's another thing to be able to stand up with that data in front of your colleagues in a scientific conference and have your colleagues walk out shaking their head in agreement. That takes a lot of work. And stem cells have not yet proven themselves effective for neurological disease as far as I can see. Though I expect that with improvements and with time, we will get there. There is some interesting work being done on Parkinson's disease with stem cells with intranasal administration. And I've spoken with three or four doctors who are doing that now and who are reporting better than 50% results. So I think we're just a little bit shy of being able to recommend stem cells for neurological conditions. Mm-hmm. But for musculoskeletal conditions, absolutely.
And then we have other categories like exosomes, amniotic. I mean, where do they fit in this whole picture?
Well, they're kind of the same category as stem cells. You know, exosomes are information. They're packets of DNA that are expressed from the placenta, and they're almost like a virus. And they're sometimes growth factors, and they work in much the same way as stem cells do.
And when you say virus, it's kind of the structure where you have the mRNA and you have, it's a little, the package around that, and it's able to penetrate cells and tissues easily. So, I mean, the structure looks very similar.
Exactly. And it gets into the cells and it gives the cells a signal. They're signaling proteins. They tell the cell to do this or that or the other thing. Hopefully, if you get the right exosomes, you're going to stimulate the cells to become more active in regeneration.
And peptide therapy, is that something that I know you wrote the book that I read many, many, many years ago, you know, on the HGH, on human growth hormone, and among all the other longevity books that you've written that are tremendous. What do you see within the field of peptides? I mean, are we seeing any more advancement there, or have we gone as far as you feel we can?
No, I think we're early on in peptide research. Peptides are smaller than the hormones. They're essentially fragments of hormones. Again, they act as signaling molecules, but not well studied because the pharma. You know, it's so darn expensive to study these things, and so when you get away from the pharmaceutical-based research laboratories, you're left with individual practitioners who don't have a budget to do these things. So they're more or less experimenting. So I'm not saying that they're not scientific, but they just don't have, you know, a research team. They only have themselves, their office, maybe one assistant. And it's hard for them to come up with quick and reliable research that's publishable and that is able to be peer reviewed. Polypeptides, I think, have a great future, but it's going to take a little bit of time because, again, the pharmaceutical companies don't seem to be interested in them, as they don't see these as easy to patent as drugs.
And talk to me a little bit about the FDA approval process. I mean, because you kind of alluded to that. There's a lot of people's a medical doctor would say, well, that is not FDA approved for that reason. So what are the challenges for, you know, like the peptides you mentioned? What are the challenge or an herb or whatever it may be? To have it then become FDA approved or FDA recognized for a specific reason. So, you know, people know when a doctor says that this is the reason why it is not FDA approved for that reason.
Well, you know, people have unfortunately bought into the notion. It's not their fault. They've been programmed, literally programmed, to believe that something that FDA approved is good and safe and effective and isn't going to hurt you. And the history of medicine is rife with FDA approved drugs that turned out to be disastrous and that have killed tens of thousands of people or contributed to the deaths of tens of thousands of people. So simply because a drug is FDA approved doesn't necessarily mean it's completely safe, nor does it mean it's completely effective. Unfortunately, the FDA approval process is controlled in many ways by the pharmaceutical companies themselves. As a matter of fact, the pharmaceutical companies fund the FDA by as much as, I think, over half of the FDA's budget comes from fees from the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah. Well, anything else that you feel would be helpful for people to understand, get excited about anti-aging medicine and know what we have and what we are looking forward to, you know, for with your scope of understanding of everything that's going on, kind of as a final note?
Well, right now, the issue is getting past this worldwide pandemic, because it's affecting not just quality of life, but quantity of life. Life expectancy has been dropping for the last 3 years, maybe the last 4 years, because of it. And there are many that believe that this pandemic did not happen naturally, which means there's an agenda. So if we don't get past this agenda of depopulation, well, I'm very sorry and saddened to say that I don't see much future for anti-aging. However, I'm hopeful that we will get past this, and anti-aging has a huge, bright future. There is so much in the laboratory that is working well. There is so much clinically that is working well. When I got started with the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine in 1991, there was only a handful of doctors who practiced anything akin to anti-aging medicine in the United States or around the world, probably less than 100. Now there are hundreds of thousands of doctors who are doing this and treating tens of millions of people worldwide, maybe hundreds of millions. There is a huge industry now of an anti-aging medicine that has grown up around these issues. So it's really the next great healthcare model, and it's unstoppable if we allow it to flourish. The future is very bright. As I said, I personally believe that the potential for practical immortality, lifespans of 120 and beyond, could be available by 2029 if the pandemic issues were resolved. We're very close to it. We have the technologies to improve lifespan dramatically. We have the technologies to counter cancer, heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease right now. We don't need breakthroughs. We already have the breakthroughs. We need implementation of the technologies we already have. So the future in many ways is extremely bright. There are just a few roadblocks in, in the way. Unfortunately, they're large roadblocks.
The powers that be roadblock.
I don't want to say too much because Dr. Peter McCulloch, MD, one of the most prominent doctors in America, one of the most highly published doctors in America, and Sherry Tenpenny, DO, a fantastic educator, are losing their licenses and their academic affiliations simply because they talk about these topics. So I try to, you know, stay clear of the political issues as best as I can. But from a scientific point of view, and from a reality point of view, and from a clinical point of view, find yourself an anti-aging medicine doctor, hopefully one that's a member of the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, and educate yourself, and you will be able to do miracles with your potential healthcare, because the technology exists, it's out there, it works, and it's affordable.
I love it. Well, Dr. Klatz, it's been such a pleasure, such an honor to have you on this summit. I know, I mean, it's like Regenerative Medicine Summit would not be complete without having the father of anti-aging on it. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And remember, if you're not part of the organization, you're probably missing out. So help out the A4M, and if you happen to have an extra $50 million in your back pocket and you'd like to see the World Center for Anti-Aging Medicine come to pass, we'll even put your name on the building. Let me know.
And people can go to drklatz.org, and they can see, you know, there's a page here on the project to see the beautiful, I mean, the vision is incredible. So yes, I hope whoever's listening have extra a few million dollars in their back pocket to step up. I mean, that'd be great.
Well, God bless you, and congratulations with your seminar. I'm looking forward to it all. I'm sure it's going to be eye-opening and really tremendous. It's mostly education. Yeah. The secret to anti-aging is mostly education and taking responsibility for your own health care and your own health destiny. So God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you.